Several months ago, I had an opportunity to have a conversation with a colleague at work. That's back when we could still work in the same office together. He had walked into my office, and we engage in casual conversation. We are friends, and the topic of religion doesn't often come up in work conversations, but this time it did. It was not, of course, involving anything regarding work. It was just a friendly conversation. And even when religion does come up at work, I'm usually pretty careful about engaging in it. I don't even go too deep, knowing that it really does take an open mind that called by God to really get deep. However, my friend was asking questions on this day, and I took the opportunity to engage a little bit more in more depth. In more detail, specifically, I explained how amazing the meaning is behind God's commanded holy days. I believe we were talking about secular holidays and how Christmas and Easter are very steeped in paganism. And I explained how the progression of God's commanded holy days, as we understand them in the Bible, established in the Old Testament, has a meaning that reveals God's plan. I talked about the meaning of Passover, giving us redemption from our sins. The Feast of Unleavened Bread as coming out of sin. I talked about the Feast of Pentecost, that feast of that represents the how we have the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit. Those first fruits have the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit. I talked about the Feast of Trumpets, representing that time when Christ returns to the earth to begin establishing his kingdom. We talked about atonement and how that represents becoming at one with God as a group, as we have recently learned. Talked about the Feast of Tabernacles and how that represents the millennial time period when God's government is established here and how perfect that will be. And then I talked about the last great day, which we'll hear about tomorrow, and how that represents the time when everybody who's ever lived will have an opportunity to understand the truth and to live by it and to commit their lives to God. As I went through that progression, similar to what I just did now, he said that it gave him chills. I took that as meaning that he understood every word that I was saying and that there was some comprehension of how wonderful this plan of God really was. However, it wasn't enough to really change the beliefs that he had. And that's fine, because it is not my job to push people and force-feed religion. It's not my job to call people and convert them. My job is to just share what I know about the truth when I have the opportunity, when I am asked about it. My job is not to force belief, because God is the one who calls us. God is the one who calls everybody. There's nothing we can do to influence that. Now, having the right beliefs turns out to be critically important, though. The beliefs that you and I share about the truth, they establish so much in how we act and behave in our lives. For each one of us, our beliefs are the bedrock of our lives. They are at that foundation. Our beliefs about religion, our beliefs about the interpretation of the Bible, our beliefs even about ourselves, what we are capable of, our beliefs about others, those beliefs, every single one of our beliefs, they direct us. They direct our decisions. They direct our actions. All of our actions have a foundation in our beliefs. If I believe that I'm growing spiritually, for example, that's a big deal. If I believe that is true, and I think about that, if I live by it, I'm going to make decisions that are consistent with that belief. If I believe that God is real, if I believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then I'm going to make decisions that are consistent with that belief. I'm more likely to believe that the commandments are there for me to follow. The trouble is, that is, as I express those beliefs, we are human. Our beliefs are not always pure. There are a lot of people out there who believe the same things that I just expressed, that God is real, that the Bible is the Word of God, but they are not here with us today. Why is that? Because there are also beliefs that people hold that pollute the truth. Those beliefs may consist of believing that secular holidays like Christmas and Easter and Halloween are important to observe as well, or acceptable to observe. Paul even talked about this pollution of beliefs. If you will, turn with me to Romans 7. I'll read verses 19 through 25. Romans 7, beginning in verse 19. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Like it or not, we are flesh and blood. Well, we will not escape that until we are raised incorruptible. That means that we are susceptible to temptation, susceptible to sin, susceptible to the pollution of beliefs. Our belief in the truth needs to be protected very carefully because we have warring beliefs that compete for our attention and threaten to take us away from God. When we make decisions about what to do in our lives, we ought to consider which set of beliefs are directing them. Are we functioning, choosing our actions with beliefs that serve the law of sin, being held in bondage to sin? Or do we function with the foundation of beliefs in the truth that liberates us from sin? Turn back to John 8 with me, and I'll read verses 31 and 32. John 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Have you ever felt absolutely liberated by learning something? Learning about the truth, and more to be more precise, when we finally understand the truth and what it means, it frees us up to be concerned about anything else that might contradict it. It frees us up from all of the pulls from the world when we are truly willing to abide by those beliefs and to put our action. To put those beliefs into action. This way of life, this Christian way of life, abiding by the truth that we choose, it looks funny to the world. But to us, it is freedom. Observing the Sabbath, observing these holy days, it is liberating. It is freedom for us to gather together, to know the truth, and to know that this is the right way, because we don't have to worry about pressures from the world. We have to live with them, but it gives us confidence and surety that God is on our side. When we understand the truth, when we believe that truth, it is a relief, because we understand in no small way, we understand the meaning of life. How powerful is that? But belief is not enough. We have to put our beliefs into action. Turn over to James 1, and I'll read verses 21 through 25. James 1, and verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We are not going to make any progress, any meaningful progress in our lives, if we are lazy with our beliefs in the truth. If we just hear the truth, it cannot set us free. It's useless if we just say that we believe and don't think about how to put that into action. If I am growing spiritually, what am I going to do? What does that mean? If I believe that I am growing spiritually, I'm going to observe the Sabbath. I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to get into the Bible and study. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read and learn and grow and increase my spiritual maturity, as we've heard throughout this feast. But when we take action that is directed by the Spirit, it says here that we will be blessed as well. God wants us to grow. He wants us to bear fruit, and he's willing to make that happen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3, and I'll read verses 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Here we read about Paul and his ministry, how he was putting his beliefs into action. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. When we put our beliefs, the good ones, the ones that are founded in the truth, into action, then we will prosper. Why is that? Why will we prosper? It's because God is going to provide that increase. We are not able to control the prosperity. We can't force the prosperity of our actions. That's God's job. And he will do that. He will reward us from the fruit of our labor. As we read here, Paul and Apollos did their work in presenting the truth to others. They didn't know what was going to grow and what wasn't going to grow, but they trusted that what they were doing was good because they believed it. And God is the one who provides that increase. God is the one who allows profit from our actions that are rooted in the belief in the truth to take shape. Brethren, the fruit that we bear, whether good or bad, every single one of those fruits has its origin in the beliefs that we hold. Are we going to let the beliefs that the world has solutions for us to prevail, leading to bad fruit? Or are we going to put the truth to work in our lives through our beliefs, letting God help us out, allowing our beliefs to bear good fruit? That is the right thing to do.